Bob Stauffer from the Edmonton Oilers joining us here on The Drive. Bob, there was a time in series number one where I didn't think we'd be talking to you today, but here you are. How are you?
Well, Lee and AJ, I'm in a great mood. That's a given. We got the Battle of Alberta. I just had both Ken Holland and Brad Tree Living on our show. We just wrapped up, and Brad made a great point. And, you know, it's been tough on everybody over the last couple of years. The province has taken a bit of a you-know-what kicking. There's a lot of people that have a morality clause with issues around oil and gas and those sort of things. And so it couldn't have come at a better time that we're going to get a chance to revisit the Battle of Alberta. I know we can talk about some of the past series, but fair point by you. You obviously saw, you know, when LA was up 3-2, you're thinking maybe the Oilers couldn't get back. In the past, you can make arguments that when a goalie steals a series, the term is now goalie. And I might assert to you that there's a new term, and that term is McDavid. Because that's kind of what happened to LA. Todd McClellan did an awesome job, and his team ready to go. He got the most out of his team. They didn't have Drew Doughty. They didn't have Victor Arvidsson. And the Oilers were under duress. And Jay Woodcroft kind of flipped the switch in Game 6. He basically created a line out of deploying Hyman and Kane together. And then double-shifted McDavid, as Drysdale's been dealing with multiple injuries. And the Oilers, you know, they flipped the script in Game 6 and Game 7. They were the better team and were able to come back and win the series. So everyone in oil country is pretty excited about the Battle of Alberta. The Oilers will be the underdog. But when you have Connor McDavid on your team, anything can happen.
Certainly Connor McDavid looked like he's at full strength and, you know, showed to me, and I think pretty much the entire hockey world, that he is the best player on the planet, and the debate is who's number two. Drysdale's in the conversation for number two, but he was clearly not playing anywhere near 100% in terms of his health. Do you think the rest, in terms of the handful of days in between Game 7 and Game 1, is going to help him?
No. I think he's going to have to play through the injury that he's got until Edmonton's done, because it's that severe of an injury. I mean, if you had seen him after, you know, I don't want to share too much, but remember the 1981 Grey Cup, you guys, when the Ottawa Roughriders with J.C. Watts, George Brancato as head coach, took on the Edmonton Eskimos, and that ended up going, it was a big upset. Ottawa was up 20-1 at one point in that game, but Tony Gabriel was playing with a significant lower body issue. It was limping around, and he was trying to will himself and gut himself. That's what Leon Draisaitl is dealing with right now. I mean, it's pretty clear he's got a high ankle sprain after just an absolute greaseball play by Mikey Anderson. You know, refs missed it. The supervisor of the series admitted they missed a call there. But when you come up from a guy from behind and wrestle him when he's engaged another player and snap his head back and pull him back from behind, that's how ankles get rolled. So I don't think the rest is going to help Leon much at all, AJ, to be honest with you. I think he's just going to have to – he will play because he's tough. There's some guys that can play hurt and other guys can't. He's a guy that can play hurt, but he's not going to be the same player. You're going to see him almost exclusively at left wing. I'll be stunned if you see him play significant time at center. He might take faceoffs, but he is going to be challenged to be close to – even 50 to 60% for the series.
Well, that's hard to listen to, because it's a star player in the game being taken out by a non-star player. I could care less whether there's a call or not, because having Mikey Anderson off the ice for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, whatever. Should the NHL... can they do anything about this type of stuff, Bob? Because I know, like, it's difficult in the Oilers fans' situation. It's happened to other players, but man, oh man, when you see that after the whistle and a headlock and a takedown, and now a star player is hurt, you hate to see it for the league.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how people have different I have a similar perspective than you do, Lee. Like, the one thing about the NBA is they protect their stars. They didn't always, but they have for the last 15 to 20 years. And what's called traveling for a star player, it's not traveling for a middle-of-the-road, a replacement-level player. What's a hard foul for a star player, or a hard foul on a star player, is judged differently. And we have something in the NHL, and it might exist a little bit because some of the guys that have come out of Peterborough, but it's almost like, you know, the star guy's got to go through more. Now, the argument would be in that specific incident that the Oilers engaged willingly in the scrum, and anything can happen in a scrum. And that's part of the reason why the call was missed. But there's no question part of, you know, intimidation is still part of the game, and they took that opportunity to jump in there. And you know, Edmonton's going to play L.A. next year. My guess is somebody's going to have a conversation with Mikey Anderson. It's a bad look. But the league does, I'm going to maintain it, the league needs to do more to protect the star players. And part of the challenge for Edmonton carrying forward here is the team they're going to play is the toughest team in the NHL. You know, I know Nashville has a tough team and they led the league in fighting. Calgary's got a different type of tough team. They have a tough team that doesn't have the league in the league in fighting because they got about three guys you don't want to fight. So, including Gabranson, who played last year in Ottawa. So this is going to be a tough series physically for Edmonton. And because of the way games get managed, they did call a lot of penalties in the first four games of most of the series, but the calls dissipated as the series went on. The Oilers only got one power play in Game 6, one power play in Game 7, despite having the puck more, despite dramatically outshooting L.A. in those games. And so, and against Calgary, who's got a real physical team, they're going to lean on Edmonton's top guys. They're just going to have to play their way through this series.
The criticism about Edmonton the last few years has not been about the top guys. It's been about the secondary guys with, you know, the signings of guys like Zach Hyman, Cody Ceci, and Evander Kane. Have they addressed this? Is this depth group good enough to survive a Leon Draisaitl at 50-60% and win a series?
Well, AJ, as both you and Lee know, there were actually a couple dummies that were criticized at Edmonton's top two players. Like, I worked for the Oilers Entertainment Group, and my argument would be that when they lost the series to Chicago and they lost the series to Winnipeg, it was a lack of depth, and that the organization had to, you know, surround those guys with better players. And they've taken steps to do that. I know Cody, you guys would have seen Cody with the 67s and obviously with the Senators. He's a different player now than he was with them. And he's been terrific in the playoffs. And really, since Dave Manson's come aboard as the, you know, the coach of the defense, they've paired CeCe for the most part with Darnell Nurse and then with Kulak when Nurse has been out. And CeCe has been a very good shutdown defenseman. He can move the puck a bit, so he gives you a little bit of offensive juice. You guys knew that he had that in his game. I would argue that he's probably a more competitive player than he was when he played for the Senators. So, you know, that signing was ridiculed by many, especially guys in Toronto, but that's Toronto. You know, if you can't play in Toronto in one season, you must be crappy. Like, those guys would know anything about winning, not seeing a team win a cup since before the two of you were born. I digress.
No, it's okay. Go on.
Yeah, CeCe's been really good. Kane's been, I mean, could anybody have envisioned Kane to have been better? I mean, the guy got 22 goals in less, you know, half a season at Edmonton. In the regular season, he got 7 goals in the playoff series. And he's hard to play against. He's got a mean streak. And then Hyman has come as advertised. You know, Hyman's got relentless work ethic. He's an effective cycle player. And Hyman and Kane, when I think last year against Winnipeg, the Oilers had, in the final game that went into triple overtime, Devin Shore was in Edmonton Oilers' top 9, and Chris Russell was in the Oilers' top 4. Russell is the Oilers' number 7 defenseman, and Devin Shore didn't play a game in the LA series. That's a illustration of the improved work the Oilers have in terms of the depth and forward in the defense. And it's going to give them a puncher's chance against Calgary, even though the Flames got a real good team, and Calgary will be favored in the series.
Can't get enough of the coaching matchup because Daryl Sutter has been there and been there and been there and been there, and Jay Woodcroft has not. Daryl Sutter will maybe try and work the media. It feels like he will. How will Jay Woodcroft and the Oilers organization handle kind of that coaching matchup with the inexperience on an NHL bench for Jay Woodcroft?
Well, it's funny. The last time we were in Calgary, which would have been in March, and the Oilers had started to go better a bit under Jay, Jack Michaels, my play-by-play partner, asked, you know, Daryl. He said, Daryl, you won 2 Stanley Cups with those teams in L.A. You know, you guys are obviously, you know, you're leading the division right now. Do you see any similarities between your current team and those two teams that went on to win the Stanley Cup? Daryl Sutter very deliberately waited a couple seconds, looked back at Jack, and said, nope. We all broke up laughing. Like it's just so Daryl Sutter, you know. The Sutters do this sly fox routine where, you know, they try to get you to believe that they're not as smart as they really are. And the guy does a great job. You know, Mike Babcock and Daryl Sutter are two of the best coaches in the league at getting, shot retention. You just don't get a lot of shots against them. Markstrom was a great bet to bounce back, but you don't get a lot of opportunities against them. Those teams can play 5v5 hockey. So Daryl is from the school that less is more, and as the playoff series went on against L.A., Jay Woodcroft started to say less as well. It's just the nature of the playoffs. Nobody wanted to reveal anything on the injury front and that sort of stuff, and I don't expect that to change in the series for either of the two coaches.
Bob, these two teams met five times in 9 years. I remember all of them, and obviously you do as well. How can – I mean, I don't know how you could recreate that because it was a different time, and the cities genuinely hated each other. That's what I tell people here. It's not like Ottawa and Toronto where there's a dislike in terms of team versus team, Sens and Leafs, but there's a genuine, at least in that time frame, a genuine dislike for the cities. Do you sense a lot of that today? And how is social media going to change part of that? Because we haven't seen an Oilers Flames series with that as part of it.
All right, I'll make it quick. So just so your listeners are aware, at various times over the last 20 years in Calgary, 70 to 100,000 Americans have lived in Calgary. Okay? Now, that number has dropped as a result of the oil and natural gas sector taking a you-know-what kicking. So there's been a lot of people not from Calgary in Calgary, whereas over 70% of Edmonton is from Edmonton. Calgary has many more diverse options in terms of what you can do. You know, as you know, guys are about 55 minutes away from the mountains. Edmonton's a little bit more limited. You talked about social media. There's four media guys in Edmonton, myself included, that have 80,000 plus followers on Twitter. There's nobody that covers the team in Calgary that's over 40,000. That's not because we're great. It's because the interest in the fan base is at that level. It's just it's enhanced in Edmonton. It means more. The team means more at Edmonton. The television numbers are far superior at Edmonton. The Oilers have been gifted. You know, they got Gretzky, and then they got McDavid and Draisaitl. So they've got the better. Calgary's got the deeper team right now, but the markets are different. Calgary, on a provincial level, Calgary, the various jurisdictions in Calgary vote a lot more for the Conservatives or the UCP party here in the province of Alberta, whereas in Edmonton, there's much more. I mean, the university, I worked at the U of A. The university was first in Edmonton. The provincial capital's in Edmonton. There's a lot more NDP support in Edmonton. So that's at a provincial level. It doesn't manifest at a federal level, but it certainly does at a provincial level. So there is a very distinctive difference between the two. And again, I reiterate the point, 70 to 100,000 Americans living in Calgary at any time over the last 20 years. And I just think the two cities are different. It means more to Edmonton. And then the Edmonton teams have had greater success. Even though the Stampeders have been the superior football team in the CFL, CFL doesn't matter now like it did 30 years ago, AJ. You know that. The Eskimos won the five Grey Cups, 78 to 82. They had the one great dynasty in CFL history. And then that was subsequently replaced by the most electrifying team in NHL history from 1984 to 1990. So Calgary has been the little brother sports-wise to Edmonton for a long time. That's where some of that angst exists with the Calgary sports fan. And at Edmonton, there's just a different mindset of the people here in Edmonton. They're from Edmonton. They see things a little bit differently than Calgarians, and it works out in sports. But I think it's awesome that they're playing, like I do. And it's not, put it this way, if it comes close to being like it was in terms of the physicality and the fighting in that it was from, you know, 83 to 91, I think that's going to work in Calgary's favor. I think Edmonton's got to stay out of that crap. I mean, again, the Flames have the toughest team in the league. They're one of the biggest teams in the league. And the Oilers are going to have to rely on skill and relentlessness, which does not mean small players can't compete. You can. But for me, that's the only way Edmonton can win the series.
One more before we let you go. What's your favorite Battle of Alberta story from the glory days?
Well, we were fortunate enough to have Wayne Gretzky on. And the last act for Wayne Gretzky as a member of the Edmonton Oilers, the last shift he had as a member of the Oilers in the Saddle Dome was scoring in 1988 in Game 2. And Wayne, you know, talked about it being one of the greatest goals he ever scored. AJ, I was in the Confederation Arena. I was 22. I only had one chin there at that time. And playing beer league summer hockey with the boys. And we had quite a range of fellows listed in the room. And Mark Messier had taken a penalty. Gretzky scored shorthanded. And I used all seven of the words that George Carlin said you couldn't say on TV to describe Mark Messier for taking that penalty in that situation. And then Wayne came down and scored. And you had a bunch of partially clad naked men jumping and throwing beer at each other. And everybody was stoked and pumped up because we knew, all right, now the Oilers got – people forget the Flames finished ahead of Edmonton. So that year for me, that 88 championship year, because the Flames were the favorite, and the Oilers swept them in four straight. And that moment, because I can remember till this day where I was, nobody expected it. To be listening to Rod Phillips calling the game in 88, and then 20 years later to be doing color with Rod Phillips was a pretty wild journey. So that, for me, was one of my favorite moments.
That's pretty incredible. Just a two-pronged question here for me to end. Can the winner of the series, in your mind, legitimately win the Stanley Cup? And will there, on the opposite end, would there be more than just disappointment for either of the fan bases and the teams if they lost the series?
I think people are pragmatic at Edmonton. I think they know Calgary's probably got the deeper team and has been the better team in the course of the season. That's, you know, look, I'm an Oilers broadcaster. I'm going to say Edmonton's going to win in six. Lots of things have to hide. And you know, Leon not being at 100% isn't great. Edmonton's played Colorado well this year, guys. The Oilers have had two overtime games and then beat the Avs 6-3 in another. Historically speaking, McDavid's matched up pretty well against Nate McKinnon. I'd say, you know, the Oilers would be probably most people's sixth choice out of the eight teams remaining to win. Is that fair? Maybe the sixth. I mean, realistically, who does everybody have? At this stage, probably Colorado, maybe. I don't know. Who do you take between Florida and Tampa now that Braden points out? I do know this, though. You know, I have some empathy. This was hard for me to admit, to see Toronto get bounced back. I thought they played pretty well in that series, but they ran up against the heart of the line. And it's part of going on that journey to see how far you can get. So will fans be disappointed? Yes. But you know what? If either team loses in six or seven, I think most of the fans – now, if there's a sweep, it's a different story because it'll just give that fan base an incredible opportunity through social media to absolutely humiliate and crush the opposition team. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think Edmonton matches better against Colorado, and I think Calgary matches better against St. Louis. So keep that in mind.
Well, now I know when to cut you off. When you have empathy for Toronto, it's time to go, Bob.
Sorry, guys. Take care. Thanks for that.